Shootings, car rammings, and assaults at protests across the country have prompted some racial justice activists to consider their options for self-defense. WSHU's Cassandra Basler attended a martial arts training for protesters from Manchester, Connecticut this week.
Cornell Lewis grips two Taekwondo kick pads in each hand. He urges a young woman to practice punching them. To passersby, this might look like a workout class. About a dozen women, men, and children stand shoulder to shoulder in gym shoes at Elizabeth Park in West Hartford. Cornell Lewis leads as a fourth-degree black belt.
What we were doing is martial arts for social protest. A lot of people go out on the streets and they're confronted with the police or with counter-protesters and they don't know what to do. So we're teaching basic stuff, blocking, kicking, how to roll an opponent if you're on the ground, and surveillance.
Hi-ya, one, two. Lewis says this is one of half a dozen trainings he's led since thousands of protesters took to the streets to demand justice for George Floyd. He says his training is about self-defense, not retaliation.
We look to defuse all situations. However, if we have to, if we are attacked, then we will defend ourselves with just enough force to make sure that our opponent is rendered helpless.
Lewis is aware of the risk if the opponent is armed. These trainees are members of a racial justice organization called Power Up Manchester. Corinne Prescott leads the group. She says she asked Lewis for help after one of their protests in Summers, Connecticut, turned violent in July.
Five times, counter-protesters crossed the double yellow lines on the street. We're supposed to stay on our side of the sidewalk, across the street from each other, and they crossed the street and they broke our line and attacked our people. And no one has been held accountable, even though the police are right there.
Prescott set up this self-defense training just days after a white teenager shot and killed two protesters who were demanding justice for Jacob Blake in Kenosha, Wisconsin. Blake was shot seven times by police.
I'm going about this. I'm completely changing as a result of what has happened most recently with Jacob Blake.
Prescott says she used to ask protesters to follow the nonviolent philosophy of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., like the thousands who marched in Washington on the anniversary of his I Have a Dream speech last week. Here's Reverend Al Sharpton on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial.
We're not going to take it. Some have different tactics, but we all are rising up. We will get your knee off our neck. Enough is enough.
Critics of Black Lives Matter protests claim unrest isn't what King would have wanted. But scholars like Peniel Joseph say there's a long history of the Black community using riots as the language of the oppressed, as well as self-defense. Joseph directs the Center for Race and Democracy at the University of Texas at Austin. His book, The Sword and the Shield, explores how Dr. King and Malcolm X were not polar opposites. Joseph says Dr. King let armed deacons march with him. They were seen as protectors of the civil rights movement.
I think in a democratic society, you legally have the right to defend yourself. As an organizing principle, does it make sense in a society that is predicated on such hugely racist violence? Organizers and organizations have to decide that for themselves.
Joseph says Black Americans had to defend themselves from armed vigilantes like the KKK less than 100 years ago, and many in today's movement know that history.
I'm not surprised that there's going to be some who are interested in self-defense, especially when folks who are portraying themselves as armed citizen soldiers but are really white supremacists are using the Second Amendment and, in quotes, patrolling under the aegis of the Second Amendment.
Joseph says while there is a history of Black self-defense, modern weapons make it more dangerous than ever to go that route. Joseph says that's why the Black Lives Matter movement has largely practiced peaceful protest, but they've met violence from law enforcement.
Stop. Formation!
At the self-defense training, Cornell Lewis splits up the Power Up Manchester group for role play. Half the group acts as counter-protesters. And half practice as members of their own group. As the counter-protesters advance, Lewis commands two power-up members to begin closing in on either side. Power-up moves with their hands clasped at their chest, almost like singers in a choir.
Attack position!
On Lewis's signal, they open their palms and hold their arms out front. Both groups march forward, but power up encircles the counter-protesters.
Okay, let's try it again.
Lewis groups the trainees together for some final advice.
We have to fight. So people who are helping us, they need to understand that and realize that we're willing to face whatever it takes because we don't have a choice.
Lewis's training has yet to go mainstream in the Connecticut protest community, but he thinks more organizers will be interested as more counter-protesters feel emboldened by far-right rhetoric. Cassandra Basler, WSHU News.